Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Visa wants to know where you would like to be. Whether you're a super fan or just in it to win your league, Visa knows we want to spend less time standing in line and more time pursuing our passions. That's why for over 60 years, Visa's been adding innovative plays to the way we pay. From tapping to pay to getting paid in 30 minutes or less, they're giving businesses and consumers more tools to do just that. They know that every Visa transaction is a promise. Whether it's a street vendor in front of a stadium or picking up the latest NFL gear online, Visa wants to provide us with the most secure and easy payment experience possible so everyone, everywhere can get to where they'd like to be. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start with Lamar Jackson. All right, as expected, the Baltimore Ravens blew out the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football. What was shocking is that I watched the whole thing. I'm old. I start my day around 4 a.m. Pacific. I get sleepy around 7 p.m. And around 8 last night, Lamar Jackson tossed his fifth touchdown pass. I remember it clearly because I was laying on my couch wondering why in the hell was I still wide awake, staring at the TV like Tiger Woods was standing over a putt on the 18th green at Augusta National. And then it hit me. Lamar Jackson is the dude from the Dos Equis beer commercials. Lamar's the most interesting man in sports. Lamar doesn't always throw five touchdown passes, but when he does, he prefers to do it in a standalone primetime game. Lamar gave the Jets the same five piece he gave the Rams on Monday Night Football a month ago. Last night's performance pretty much assured Jackson of being the unanimous choice as the league's MVP. He leads the NFL in touchdown passes at 33. He broke Michael Vick's single-season rushing record for quarterbacks. Only Tennessee's newly minted starter Ryan Tannehill ranks higher in passer rating. Lamar Jackson's story is becoming bigger than football. It is starting to feel like Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Mike Tyson, Magic and Larry, and Michael Jordan. The NFL is such an enormous brand that its individuals rarely go where Lamar seems to be headed. The most interesting man in sports, the most compelling story in sports. Football teams are must-see. The 85 Bears, the 2007 Patriots, the Dallas Cowboys. Jim Brown was as interesting as Lamar, but Jim played before football's TV era. Maybe O.J. Simpson in 1973, the year he ran for 2,000 yards? Lamar is in rare air, generally reserved for the dominant figures in individual sports and basketball stars. You stop whatever it is you're doing and make time to watch Lamar. He makes you feel like you're watching history. That's how Tiger makes you feel at a major. Tyson and Jordan did the same during the 1990s. The rivalry between Magic and Larry created that feeling throughout the 1980s. LeBron fascinated us in Miami and Cleveland. You can't manufacture what Lamar has. Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown are trying to do it via social media. It's not authentic. It's not connected to winning. It can't be embraced by the masses. Last night, after getting whipped by 21 points, the Jets formed a receiving line to get Lamar's autograph. You can rip the Jets, but I don't blame them. It's an honor to be embarrassed by Lamar. He reminds me the most of Larry Bird, the hick from French Lick, who dominated a seemingly black sport. Lamar has that South Florida twang to his voice and cadence. He doesn't sound like any quarterback we've ever heard before, and he doesn't look like them either. His mom is his business manager. She's the anti-LeVar Ball. Lamar wears his old school values on his t-shirts. Yesterday, a friend with connections to Louisville and Lamar shared a story about Lamar visiting his alma mater this year. Lamar didn't get a hotel. He stayed in the dorms on an old teammate's couch. This is the most interesting man in sports. Lamar once let a linebacker catch him from behind just to see how it feels. Lamar can call audibles in three different languages, including Russian. His dreadlocks alone have experienced more than a lesser quarterback's entire body. Stay thirsty, Lamar. We love it. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst LeVar Arrington.
Arrington, not Ball.
And the Hall of Famer, the GOAT of GOATs, Eric Dickerson. All right, Marcellus.
Yes.
Start with you. Is Lamar Jackson on the verge of becoming the biggest star in American sports?
No. And you know I love me some Lamar Jackson. What was that, 600 words, that Whitlock, 700 words, whatever it may be? Didn't once mention that I predicted all this was going to happen. Remember those days of talking about Lamar Jackson, saying he's the rock star. He's the one. He has the it factor of all these young, great quarterbacks. But is he on the verge of being the biggest star in sports? Hell no. That star power has to materialize. And when we talk about the gap, the disparity of where he is right now and what's at the top, which I would say is LeBron James, the king, we're talking about global equity. We're talking about that monetizing and materializing. Lamar Jackson, as great as he is, doesn't even have a commercial yet, no? Does he even have a signature shoe yet, no? And when you're a rookie in the NFL, one thing that comes with you is the hype machine. And I witnessed this many a times. When you look at number one jersey sales, top jersey sales, there's only two people on that list. Bona fide, proven veterans and the next sensation, rookies. And right now, Lamar Jackson is on the rise, but there's such a wide gap between where he is and at the top.
I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to say, based upon the perfection of how to market and brand and surround and uplift and empower the type of stars that have come through Baltimore. Credit Ray Lewis for creating an image in an environment where you could say probably the market would not be able to support saying the biggest athlete in all of America. I don't think he needs global brand awareness to be the biggest star in American sports, for one. For two, again, really? No, I don't, because it's just here. I mean, it doesn't matter if abroad people are buying into
it. You don't think the China connection with LeBron, the China connection for Kobe, allowed them to become the biggest domestic stars as well?
No, I don't. I don't, because I can't base. I've never been to some of those places you're bringing bringing up. So I can't base.
The money has.
I can't base how I feel about those players off of foreign countries. But what I will say is that if there is one place, and the reason why I brought up Ray, is if there's one place that understands how to take that process of, we have someone special here, let's get behind it. I mean, from his dance, right? Like, it started off just coming out and during the dance, right? They had grass. He'd pick up the grass, do it. They went to field turf. They still gave that man a patch of grass to come out. They added the pyromaniacs, added the fire to it. They had all of
the arches,
everything happened. So it takes having a supporting system to be able to, it's not just your play, it's how they build your brand. And I think he's in the right market to make a push or make a run for it.
Well, I agree with both of you. I think that for sure, you said LeBron James, he's the biggest sports figure right now, no doubt.
Yeah.
But you know, in the National Football League, I think he's the biggest star in the National Football League right now because he's the hottest story. One thing is, you're talking about a shoe deal. Most football players don't have shoe deals. It's rare. I mean, it happens. OBJ might have one, but it's rare. I mean, that's basketball. Mm-hmm. We gonna walk around with cleats on? No, we're not.
Right.
But I'd have to say that he's exciting to watch. But is he the big? If he was in LA, Possibly.
Oh, no. Here we go. Marcus,
Hold on.
How old are you?
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
If he was in L.A., possibly. If he was in Chicago. I'm talking about for big markets.
Man, stop. This world is this small. It's called your phone, man.
Man, look, you play in San Diego. Just sit over there.
I know it. I'm the biggest star.
You know, if he played in New York, Chicago, it's possible. It's possible he would be maybe. You could say he's a big star. He's the biggest star. But in sports right now, it's about the L.A. Lakers. But in football.
No. That's a myth that's promoted over social media.
Anyway,
the NBA ratings are going in the toilet, and y'all still talking about LeBron James. But go ahead.
Can I finish? For his football, I think he's the biggest star in football.
Okay, no, so here the guy is. No. He's playing the number one position in all of sports. It is the quarterback is the position of all positions. The NFL dwarfs all other sports. You go look at the NBA, go look at their ratings and how they're going in the tank. The NFL's ratings are going up. This dude, LeBron James, at one time he carried that torch. I would stop whatever I was doing to watch LeBron James. That's past. That's no longer the case. Tiger Woods, I still stop whatever I'm doing, but the passion isn't as strong. This Lamar, and again, I'm reducing it all to me, but I'm just telling you, the way my phone goes off when Lamar Jackson's playing reminds me of the way my phone would go off when LeBron was at his peak.
Or LeVar.
When Tiger Woods.
That's what you want to say,
when Tiger Woods was at his peak.
Penn State, LeVar.
When my mother and just people that really aren't the hugest sports fan are texting me about Lamar Jackson, that's why I'm saying I think this kid has a chance. He plays the game in such a unique fashion. And again, I don't – blowouts, for me, I lose interest. This dude, I was sitting there like, I couldn't take my eyes off of him. I think there's something here. I say this later in the show, but I think one of the reasons why Roger Goodell was so confident talking about Colin Kaepernick, we moved on, is because it's like, man, we are riding the greatest thing in sports here with this Lamar Jackson kid. And we're going to ride this till the wheels fall off. I think the NFL is going to jump behind Lamar Jackson because he represents a lot of great things that are consistent with the values of the NFL and football.
Look, he's the most captivating player in all of sports right now, but that doesn't mean he's going to be the biggest star or he is on the verge of being the biggest star. I think that climb still has to be materialized. I will say that the energy you're talking about is because he's new. And he's next. But if you talk about who's the biggest star now, that's why you're not getting those same amount of texts over LeBron, because we did that for LeBron already. Now we're in another phase for a new star who's on his way up. The only game I went to this year, it was actually two, but it was the first one, I should say, was the Baltimore Ravens playing the Rams. Now, a lot of people were up giving me high fives when I walked in that stadium, like, oh, you're a Rams fan? No. I'm here to see Lamar Jackson in L.A. And it's amazing what you're talking about, that energy. The fundamental reason I think that Lamar Jackson is next is because he allows us to see what's at the core of sports, which is insane ability, like next level talents. And that's what is freak of nature ability is how we vicariously live through our television screens and look on that field and say, I can't do that. And when you can say that, that guy is captivating. But when we say biggest star, man, he's not even the biggest star in the sport. OBJ is still a bigger star than him. And if you don't believe me, okay.
No, it's true.
Go around him. Put them together in a room and watch that.
But I will say this. I'll continue to say he's on the verge is because of social media and because of the things that you can create with the brand that Lamar is creating.
I don't want to cut you off, but that's where I just, social media is so inauthentic that anything built off of social media, it's not real. And that's where, and again, OBJ's got a great social media following, Antonio Brown, do people sit around and go, oh my God, I can't wait to watch OBJ play? Now, can't wait to go watch him
but
warm
he had
up?
That phase.
Can they go wait to watch him warm up?
Everyone goes through this phase. OBJ had that phase.
If social media is used correctly, it can be the catalyst of why he could transcend and get achieve what it is that you're saying. I look at it like this. If Lamar Jackson is that Popeye's chicken sandwich, right? Then now he has the opportunity to become that mega star. And I'm gonna tell you why, right? Because it's all about guerrilla marketing. Sometimes the best marketing is the guerrilla marketing. You put that Popeye's chicken, they put that Popeye's chicken on social media so much by the time that thing
hit social media, everybody the chicken sandwich is that damn good.
It takes
and
a whole.
So is Lamar Jackson.
I ain't never had it, but I want one.
I ain't had it either.
But Lamar Jackson,
I ain't gonna have it either.
It's the premise of the pathway that I'm speaking of here. That's
you know, the thing is that we are all, not all, but some people are so quick. That's one thing that frustrates me when I watch analysts. Oh, he's a great one. He's the next star. That doesn't make him, because he had a good game or a good week or five good games.
Or even a season.
A season. All of a sudden, he's a great one. That comes
hear
in
that?
Time. That's in time. Last year, who was that guy? Who were we talking
Mahomes.
About? Mahomes. You don't have to mention everybody was on Mahomes, all over Mahomes.
He got injured this year. Ain't nothing changed for Mahomes.
But still, Mahomes still a great player.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's always funny how all of a sudden, oh, he's great. He's great. I'm like, let him mature.
When you're about to run away with the MVP trophy the way he is,
but
very few guys do that. Very few.
I like him. I mean, yeah. First of all, you know, I was on it from the beginning. Now, thank you. So, from the beginning, but I just feel like we're so quick to say, is this the next guy? Is he the next that? Is he that?
It's you the know? Job, it, man.
I agree with that. I like to call him good, not great.
Yeah, that's the leap he's talking about. Why take the LeVar leap until he's the biggest star in sports
Indeed.
Versus he's just damn good?
Right, right. He's just
but
damn
that's
good.
That's a great point. And I don't want to move the goalpost
go
on this,
Do
but
it.
I mean, you brought up Mahomes. Is Lamar Jackson's stardom as big if Mahomes is healthy and is playing the type of football
yes.
he was
yeah.
playing last
yeah,
year?
Yeah, it's a different style. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so yeah. now if that is the case, then if that is the case, then you'd have to say he really is truly on the verge of being that mega star, right?
But Mahomes is not a mega star yet. So on the
but
verge
on
of being
verge
Mahomes,
of it,
who is
right?
not a mega star, yeah, I agree with that. I'm gonna give you one quick story. I was on air and we were talking about J.J. Watt after his first five seasons, and people were like, he may be the greatest defensive lineman ever. And I was like, look, he's on pace to doing something like that. I got a text from a Hall of Famer who played D-line and said, holla at me in 10 years if he keeps this up.
And that was Bruce.
Bruce Smith.
Yeah,
I ain't saying who it was.
We all know who it was.
I thought what it was.
Hey,
wait a minute.
Hit me out when it gets close to 200.
But my point is, three of the next four seasons, injuries.
It hurt. Yeah.
And then we're not talking about J.J. Watt in that same light. We're saying, is he a Hall of Famer? But we're not saying
is he best.
Well, we're not questioning whether he's a Hall of Famer. The guy's three-time defensive player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that's probably.
But is that the same as greatest ever?
No.
That ain't 200 sacks
biggest
either.
Star?
No. I get it. But he certainly was on track, then injuries and situation happened. He was on track, and then injuries and situations happened. But we can't deny the fact that for a moment, J.J. Watt looked like Reggie White's white son.
But who's to say we don't end up being in that same place with Lamar Jackson?
Mike.
He took a little shot last night, but he took it.
Did you know that as many as 7 of 10 adults wish they played a musical instrument? Unfortunately, many never do because they think it's either too late for them to start or too expensive. Musician is an online music education platform rethinking the way people learn music. It's the fun, easy, and affordable way to learn guitar, piano, bass, ukulele, or even singing. Just download the app to your desktop, tablet, or phone and start playing. Musician is perfect whether you're just starting out or have been playing for years. Enjoy thousands of popular songs and expertly crafted lessons and exercises across dozens of genres. Compared to private lessons, Musician is more affordable and lets you learn on your own schedule. You'll get bite-sized lessons, easy-to-follow instructions, and exercises tailored to your goals. Using Musician to learn an instrument like guitar or piano is much better than trying to teach yourself. So if you've been wanting to learn an instrument or simply want some help getting back to playing, check out Musician. You can get an extended 14-day free trial of their Premium Plus package at musician.com/play. That's unlimited lessons and unlimited songs on as many instruments as you want for 2 whole weeks. Just go to musician.com/play to start your free trial today. That's YOUSICIAN.com/play.
Eric Dickerson, LeVar Arrington are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas, where the Cowboys are looking to keep their playoff hopes alive with a huge showdown against the red-hot Rams Sunday on Fox. Jason Garrett actually broke out a Cowboys highlight reel for the team this week to get them hyped and remind them what they're capable of. And there's no question they need a spark. Dallas has been terrible the last few weeks, losing three straight, scoring just 16 points per game, and struggling in both the running and passing game. All right, the question here is, giving Cowboys any chance against the red-hot Los Angeles Rams?
No, I'm not. You just showed their failures in recent memory of watching this team offensively especially struggle. And let's talk about the running game struggling as well. Ezekiel Elliott, what was it, five straight games, under 100 yards. So offensively, number one ranked, but not living up to that billing. And in comes the Los Angeles Rams, focused, knowing that their balancing act has to go through Todd Gurley primarily. And if you look at this team right now, especially defensively, they are playing some football. Defense has a streak of seven straight games with three or more sacks. And that means that they're coming and they're hunting. So I don't think that the Cowboys can get off the snide. I think they lose.
I'll go next because I know what you're probably going to say. So I'm
he's a homer. He's on payroll.
I ain't no homer. Look at that right.
And listen, Rams. It kind of probably is along the same lines as Marcellus. I really don't give this team a chance for a lot of the reasons that Marcellus said. But again, this is a team that has lost its way. Its identity is being defined by off-the-field discussions and interviews and sound bites. It really is not about football right now in Dallas. And even with that being said, they have an opportunity to win the NFC East and get a bid into the playoffs. But you got to be able to run the ball. The Rams have began to run the ball last week. They decided to do it and do it against the defense where if Gurley had the type of success he did, it sets the stage for them moving forward. The Dallas Cowboy defense has given up 28 points per game over the last two games and over 369 yards in net yardage in the last two games. It does not bode well having a Todd Gurley feeling confident. The offense is playing well. Goff is jumping onto it. And again, that defense playing the way that they're playing, I just find it difficult for them to be able, under the circumstances, to beat the Rams.
Well, as the Rambassador,
my man.
I hope they don't play well. I don't like the Cowboys, so good. I don't want to hear they play. You know, I think this game comes down to two people, the head coaches, Jason Garrett and Sean McVay. And most definitely, I'm going to take Sean McVay in this case. I think Sean has proven, you know, in his young coaching career that he can win the big games. You know, he's lost some, but he can make changes. And I go to the changes last week with Jared Goff. You know, we all know that, well, I've said it, and I think a lot of you have said it, Jared Goff cannot sit back. If you let him sit in the pocket, he'll pick you apart. Mm-hmm. But if you put pressure on him, he can make him fall apart. So last week, what they did to him, they started rolling him out. He was 7 of 7 for 134 yards. Mm. And that's what coaching does. Sometimes you have to make changes being a coach. And it comes down to Wade Phillips and Jason Garrett. Mm. Now, Wade Phillips is not a Jason Garrett fan. Remember, he was the head coach there.
Yeah.
And he, in a sense, got Wade Phillips out. If I'm Wade, I'm like, hell yeah. This is my chance to put the nail in the coffin.
He told you to say that, didn't he?
No.
He gave you that to say this morning, didn't he?
No.
You putting that out there.
I said that last time.
I know you said that, Wade. I'm going to get Garrett. Tell him, E.D., I'm going to get him.
I'm saying.
I'm going to get him.
I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him out of here. So that's more incentive.
Yeah. Listen, I think you're right narrowing this down to the coaches, Eric. And I'll say it because Sean McVay is why Jason Garrett should have been fired a long time ago. Sean McVay's team went through some turbulence, and Sean McVay adjusted and said, you know what, I'm stupid, I've done some dumb things. Let's commit to Todd Gurley in this running game and play action pass game with Jared Goff. I got us out here way too far in the passing game. The guy committed to a style of play that works for his personnel. He turned his ship a different direction. Jason Garrett hasn't been able to turn his ship. They're not committed to anything. You don't know what is it going. Are they going to feed Zeke this week? Or are they going to have Dak throw the ball 40, 50 times this week? They're not committed to anything in Dallas, so it's hard for me to believe they have any chance against a talented team that, to me, has a shaky quarterback, but at least they're committed to a style of play.
Yeah, and let's not forget, and let's not overthink this, that the Cowboys are 0-6 versus winning teams, and this is a winning team coming in at an 8-5 record. So I do want to push back at the Rambassador, since I know he has all the intel in the world about this team. Todd Gurley, of late, we see the uptick in production and opportunities, but we also see the uptick in agitation. He's been speaking the compliment that he got from Jared Goff. He kind of snubbed that. The Sean McVay talking about, I'm an idiot. He kind of snubbed that as well. I just wonder, like, everyone's saying that Todd Gurley is back, and Todd Gurley takes exception to that I'm back because he feels that he hasn't left. Your assessment of Todd Gurley in this commitment?
I agree with Todd Gurley. He's never been anywhere. Look, as a running back, you don't call the plays. I mean, you don't get the offensive coordinator calls the plays. The head coach calls the plays. I mean, I think because when you hear something so much over and over, man, Todd Gurley, he got an arthritic knee. He ain't the same guy. They paid him all that money. He don't deserve that money. I mean, that's frustrating. It's like I'm getting the ball 5 and 6 times a game. I'm in and out of the game. I'm here for a series. I'm on the bench for 6 series. I'm in, I'm out. As a defensive lineman, yeah, that's hard for you. That would be hard for
right,
you.
But
hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. For a running back, it is so difficult to get into the swing of a game, running the ball 3 or 4 times, without getting the ball. And it's hard because you got to think about it. I'm not just running from me to you, offensive line. I'm running through guys up the field. I got a burst. That's a hamstring waiting to happen.
Hold on, but Eric, you know the game. None of that's by coincidence. It's always calculated in the NFL. And when Sean McVay says stuff like, our approach is Todd's a big-time player, he's shown that he's feeling good. That, to me, is double talk. Like,
to me,
earlier in the season, they must didn't think he had it.
What you're saying is you're taking one word out. That don't mean
that's a phrase.
That's you're taking
that's a sentence now.
You're taking a sentence or a phrase out and making it, in a sense, like, this is what it means.
Well,
we don't know what it means. We don't know exactly what it means. I mean, I still feel, when I watched Todd play, when I watched him in practice, when I watched him play, he looked the same to me. And I talked to him. I talked to him. I called him when I said, he didn't say it. I said, I'm frustrated for you because as a running back, I know how you want to. You can't get the ball 3-4 times. But, I mean, and then you look around and it's 12 carries. And well, Todd's not the same. He had 30 yards on 12 carries. Let me tell you something. Sometimes on that 18th carry, on that 21st carry, that's when you had that boom, that 60-yarder. A defense does not want to see the ball run over and over.
Let me ask you, and really all of you all, because you played in the NFL, Todd Gurley gets a big contract. I wonder if any of what's gone on is like, has his practice habits declined with that big contract, and that's what has frustrated Sean McVay and these guys? Or at that level of play, does it even matter what you do in practice?
Let me tell you this. When you watch Todd, I know Todd. No, Todd's the same guy. He's hungry. I mean, he wants to get that ball. The thing is, and I said it a year ago, we are a team that likes to throw the football too much at times. We get caught up on it. And that's what it is. A lot of these coaches are like, look how smart I am. You see that play I ran? You like that, don't you? I mean, and that's what it comes down to. Look, running the football is not popular. It's not. I mean, look at the Baltimore Ravens. Now it's popular because it's working for them. You got a quarterback it works for. But running the football is just not a popular thing. Throwing is more
doesn't
popular.
It doesn't get you a new job.
Exactly.
And it's going to get Greg Roman one this year. But in previous years, you got to be the offensive coach that throws the football.
Look at Dak Prescott in this game, too. Speaking of contracts, major implications, if you ask me, for Dak Prescott coming into this game, because performing well could mean something good for him coming.
With Locke and Wiley, Eric Dickens is back joining the show now as Fox Sports NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh. Let's move to Tennessee, where Ryan Tannehill and the Titans host Deshaun Watson and the Texans Sunday in a battle for first place in the AFC South. After an MVP caliber start to the year, Deshaun Watson has been inconsistent in recent weeks. Meanwhile, Tannehill has been on fire since taking over as a Titans starter, and last week was no different, with Tannehill putting up huge numbers in a win over the Raiders while Watson was terrible in an ugly loss to the Broncos. All right, the question here is, better quarterback right now this Sunday, Deshaun Watson or Ryan Tannehill?
Deshaun Watson. When the Texans do something, it's because of Deshaun Watson. But when the Tennessee Titans do something, it's not all because of Ryan Tannehill. Let's talk about the running game. And we know that the Tennessee Titans have a strong running game led by Derrick Henry. Did you tell me Willis? Not Smith. Most rushing touchdowns. I'm like, uh-oh. You don't believe in the running game? They got the most rushing touchdowns in the AFC. That's Tennessee Titans. And we know that also the Houston Texans don't have a strong running game because Deshaun Watson has more rushing touchdowns than all of his running backs combined. Then you look at the defense in terms of scoring. The Texans are worse in scoring defense, 19th compared to the Titans. So when Deshaun Watson is rolling, this team does everything.
Let me rephrase the question then. Because who's going to play better on Sunday?
Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm with you. I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson. And my biggest reason is this. Since Deshaun Watson has come into the league, Mike Vrabel has been the head coach for the Tennessee Titans. Deshaun Watson is 2-1 against that defense, which is a really stout defense, completing 73% of his passes, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 120 passer rating. So although Tennessee is very good on defense, it's something about that defense that Deshaun Watson sees, he recognizes very quick, and he plays well. And his receiving core is really strong. Now, Tannehill, it's almost what the discussion we had earlier this week. Is it lightning in the bottle? Is it fools? He just hasn't done it enough. And if you haven't done it, 7 games, you're 6-1. That's a great thing. But I'm going with Deshaun Watson because he's proven himself over time to me.
I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson, too. I mean, I think this is a quarterback, to me, just does not get the credit he deserves. He doesn't have a great offensive line. I mean, I don't think he has a great coaching staff.
Shocked you would say this, Eric.
I know. That's shocking.
I'm serious.
But I'm serious. I just like Deshaun Watson. I liked him from the beginning. I like the way he throws the ball, like he handles himself.
Who's going to play better on Sunday?
Oh, I forgot. My bad. The question changed.
Yeah, I changed.
You just changed. I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson. I think he's going to play better.
Shocked you would say that.
Why? Well, I mean, can I be?
Go ahead.
Thank you, man. God, why are you always cutting me off?
Say it.
Anyway.
That's
it's,
right,
it's certain teams that you play well against, and just like you just said. But I'll give you an example. The Rams and the Seahawks, we always play well against, even when we're bad. When the Rams, when they go 4-12, because why? Because we matched up well with that offensive line, our defensive line. This team matches up well with them. Deshaun Watson plays well against them, so I'm going with Deshaun Watson.
When you were with the Rams, who was your quarterback?
Which one?
The year you ran for 2,000 yards.
Jeff Kemp.
And I remember that year. And you made life so easy on Jeff Kemp. He almost looked like a passable quarterback in the NFL. And Tannehill has a horse in the backfield in Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make Tannehill play better. A running back is a quarterback's best friend. Guys like TJ think they're a quarterback's best friend, a wide receiver. William Fuller's coming back. Deshaun Watson. No. Handing that ball off and lining up on 2nd and 5, that's the greatest thing you can ever do for a quarterback.
And them guys up front. Them guys that don't get have no names, them guys that offensive line.
And so to me, I don't think what Tannehill's doing really is as fluky as it seems. Derrick Henry in that running game has set the table for a guy who's a relatively good quarterback to play at a high level. I don't see it stopping this week. They're on a roll. Bill O'Brien pushed all his chips into the table with the Houston Texans, traded for Laremy Tunsil. Everything was about this year, and it's blowing up in their face. I think Tennessee continues to roll. I think Ryan Tannehill continues to roll because I think Derrick Henry is going to continue to shove it down people's throats.
But hold up. I agree with that. I mean,
I know.
The question was, who's going to play? Because you don't win. I mean, I think Deshaun Watson going to have a better day throwing the football, but who are going to win the football game? Tennessee Titans going to win the game.
One guy is leading the league in passer rating. Tannehill.
But this is the first outing against this Texans team, and we don't know how that's going to play out. Now, he's played against Bill O'Brien before and looked very good against Ryan Tannehill. Had a perfect passer rating when he played against Bill O'Brien before. But playing against this Texans team versus a quarterback who's played against Tennessee before, that familiarity comes into play when you're talking about in your division.
Man, it's a divisional. Game right here.
Tennessee.
It is at Tennessee. It means a lot to both teams. Romeo Crennel, he comes under Bill Belichick. They gonna put the game on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders. So they're gonna try to eliminate
Derrick Henry's shoulders.
Try to eliminate Derrick Henry. We're gonna put 8 guys in a box. We're gonna stop the run. And if you are as good as they think you are, Ryan Tannehill, you're gonna throw the ball 30 to 35 times a game, and you're gonna have to beat us. Because we're not gonna give you this play action. We not going to let Derrick Henry run for 140 and then you hit us for at least 280 yards passing.
Yeah.
They're going to take
something
away.
And Derrick Henry hasn't practiced all week, but I will say he hasn't practiced much in the last 4 weeks because of the hamstring, but he shows up on game day.
When you look at Deshaun, it's just what ED said. It's something about the Titans' defense. He sees it well. He plays well against them. And when you got DeAndre Hopkins, who's right now him and Mike Thomas are the best two receivers in the league. You got Kenny Stills. You got Will Fuller. He has weapons on offense, and he's going to utilize them.
You know what he doesn't have? Derrick Henry. And as great as them receivers are, unless you're lining up second and five, second and four, that's what a great running back does for you in a great running game. That's what makes playing quarterback a lot easier. Or when it's second and 10 and you still have the threat of handing the ball to Eric Dickerson or Derrick Henry, that's what makes life easier. I just think...
Well, then why all of Eric's quarterbacks weren't great? They had him. He was great.
Different era. You could actually play defense.
Different type of football. They can hit back. They can hit back then.
Different era.
He didn't make them quarterbacks.
All right, Darnell. Is the Texans-Titans part of a Super 6 this weekend?
Yes, sir, it is. And first off, we want to give a huge shout-out to the 123 winners of the Thursday Night Football Super 6 contest. And before the games kick off on Sunday, be sure to download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play for free for your chance to win Terry Bradshaw's $250,000. We're like Marcellus.
Yeah.
Help our fans win some money. What winner you got between the Texans and Titans? And give us a score.
And you know what? We got enough time for ED and TJ to hop in if they want to. But I'm going to go Tennessee 31-27.
I got Tennessee 23, Texans 20.
You got the
But Deshaun Watson's still going to play better than Tyler.
See, that's
how it is.
I've had a tremendous game or two here, and we got our butts beat, but I got mine.
I'm going with Houston 28-27.
Boy, I'm going to go with Tennessee 31-20.
All right.
We got three people to think Tennessee's going to win.
Going with you. See, the question was confusing.
Man, they better eat the ball.
Not even confused.
Put it on Tannehill.
Yeah.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington, and TJ Houspenzada are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's move to Cam Newton, who just had surgery on his foot and posted a picture of himself in a wheelchair on Instagram, writing, quote, "God, thank you for a successful surgery. Thank you for all the prayers and well wishes. It's been a hectic last couple of nights, but the best news is knowing you can only grow up from here. Shine through the shade, one love." I want to ask you guys, do you like Cam's post here?
No. This connects to my whole thing yesterday about celebrities. And Cam wants to be a global icon. He's chasing celebrity. I don't like anything about this. Again. He thinks he's being humble and giving us a window into his soul. And all he's really doing is flexing. I'm about to get on this private plane. To me, the underlying message to all of this is, man, y'all think I'm down and y'all think my career is washed up, but I'm still Cam Newton. I'm about to get on this private plane. Who? I got these dark sunglasses on, all this posed up. Who does this? Who? I just came out of surgery. Hey, but before we get on this plane, y'all, let me pose here and put on these sunglasses and right in front of this private plane. When people really want to show you, hey, I just had surgery, they show the pics from the hospital bed, not the airplane tarmac. I just don't like... Cam is a delusional celebrity. He's too caught up in his social media following and chasing social media fame. To me, this is just a red flag about stay away. This guy's not really about football. He's about being famous.
I like it because it's authentic.
Authentic?
Yeah, you know why? It's not excess. That's how he rolls. Last time I checked, I ain't seen him at United Terminal like I am. You know why? Because Cam Newton rolls like this. So he's framing his life, but he's framing it maybe in a positive complexion. And I actually prefer this than the ones that are on their deathbed with strings and all the kind of wires going through them, talking about, oh, look at me, I'm down, but I'm going to rise from these ashes. I like a guy who's like, look, most of rehab is upstairs. Like, physically it's demanding, but mentally you have to have the right outlook. And if a guy is telling you my worst day is behind me because I already got fixed, now it's time for me to get right. That means be better than I was, at least in my mindset. I'm not mad at that. This is not a guy who's changed his lifestyle dynamics for the picture. That's when I have a problem, when somebody is like renting a moment. This is just a normal moment for him, but he's now on the right track.
It's very crazy you said that, because when I saw this, it was authenticity at its finest. Think about this, Jason.
No.
When we see Cam Newton do an interview after a game, how is he dressed?
To a T.
Flashy, stunting on him.
Like a dad.
This is no different. This is who he
is. That's not authentic, but go ahead.
It must be, because he does it all the time.
Like, right.
Lions hunt, dogs bark. This is what he does. Yeah. This
is
him.
And insecure people, and again, I used to be one, wrap themselves in all kinds of gold jewelry.
But
and
that's
everything.
Him. He's shown us.
No, he's insecure. Yeah.
And so for me, I'm not surprised, because this is who he's shown us who he is. And so does it surprise me? Not at all, because every time we see him, he's dressed to a T, and maybe he does want to be a celebrity, or in his eyes, I am one.
Right.
I think the photo is just a photo, in my humble estimation.
Did someone argue the post more than a photo?
I like the post. Well, I think some of what we're basing our discussion points off of is seeing what's in the photo. I think I'm looking more at the words. This is a declaration from Cam Newton. This is a declaration. He did not mention the Carolina Panthers. He did not mention any teammates. He did not mention the Carolina fans. He is making a declaration. This is as low as I'm going to be right here, right now. And I am going to get myself together. I'm going to rehab myself. And whatever team it is that I'm going to play for next year, I'm going to come out and I'm going to push through the shade. So everybody, like you said in the initial, everybody who's saying they're writing me off for dead, I can't play anymore, what will we see from Cam Newton? Cam is more about posting on social media or trying to be a global icon. I don't think he's approaching this as a victim. I think he's approaching this as, I am letting you know that this is my beacon to all y'all teams out there. Here's my foot. I'm about to put it up people's once I get it healthy. That's what I took from it.
And you're on solid ground in terms of he may be saying, I'm about to take flight. I'm down to my lowest point, but I'm about to take flight. Here's my, and again, this goes back to my little personal pet peeve with celebrities or whatever, and particularly with us as celebrities. And it's my whole little problem where I...
Who's us? Who's us?
Us, black people.
Oh, okay.
Where right. Black men in particular, as this is where I jump ship on rap. I just can't stand all the flexing. Look at what I got. Look at what I got. It drives me crazy. That those of means constantly have to shove it down everyone else's throat. And again, and I realize there are people that like it. There are groupies out there and sycophants that, oh my God, I can't. Cam's living the life, blah, blah, blah. I can't stand it. I prefer a little bit more humility, particularly when you get in your 30s. Again, I was a 20-year-old idiot. I can remember the big gold chain that I bought to flex and cover up all my insecurities. I wore it one time. Thing cost me like $25,000.
Can I have it?
One time.
You still got it? Let me get that. Since you don't like it, I got a place for it.
Yeah.
Let me get that.
But you know what? We all flex. We just find different ways to do it. When you out there putting the five figures down on the bed or whatever it may be.
I'm doing that to win.
Hey, and you also lose more than you win. But that's your flex. And nobody is sitting there saying you throwing it in my face because you at a table where it's a $10,000 minimum. Do you. And guess what? Cam's like, let me do me. The thing about it is, sometimes these pictures ain't that deep. Like, you know, you ever just like, I'm just gonna take this picture. You can read all into it, but all it is me taking a picture, taking flight, and or coming from a flight of my lowest moment. But guess what? In case you forgot, I'm still Cam Newton. To me, it may be not that deep, and if it is that deep, that is actually a positive that he's not sitting there all lowly, sitting there with the heart rate monitor behind him saying, oh, come save me, woe is me. I like a guy who's like, I'm still there.
Yeah. Cam does move in figurative creativity. Like that, there is a meaning behind that picture for certain, knowing how he thinks.
You know why it's a meaning behind it? When you hashtag shine through the shade.
But that's what he always does.
That lets you know.
That's his hashtag.
Yeah.
But going back to what Jason was saying earlier, you're talking about us, black men.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about that, a lot of us come from nothing. So when you finally get something, you want to show out a little bit. That's just human. I've never been that
Throw
person.
Out of it.
Like,
Hold on. What about people who are second generational wealth who flex in different ways? You want to come with me this weekend? I got the private jet. I got the yacht. And we're going to spend $50,000 a day. We keep putting it's this
not,
on black people.
No. It's not just us.
Okay,
it's
every, I'm about to say.
No.
My art. You want to
see? It's not just us.
You know what that
us.
Rug is?
Look.
I'm like, come on, cuz.
Put it like this. You driving on the freeway out here. I take a commute every day. I see Lamborghinis and Ferraris up and down the 405. The majority of them are white dudes and Asians. The majority of them. All the time.
You know what they doing?
And it's not
going
just
to the
us.
Gas station 2-3 times a week. I was one of them dudes. You know what I drive? A hybrid. You know why? Because you ain't going nowhere, no time fast, and no hurry because it's too much traffic.
The thing, he'll mature.
Flexing for no reason.
As you age,
you did it
in your 20s and 30s. Yeah. You're going to mature and you're going to move away from that. At this age, in the position he's in, this is what he is. He will mature
we
and move away from
this. We all flex. When you get the bill.
Different ways.
When you get the bill, I got the bill. Hold on, that's a flex. Everybody here can afford it, and if they can't afford it, they should at least came to you and said,
that's
oh,
not
let
a
hook
flex,
me up.
Man. That is might a, be somebody's generosity, that's, man.
Oh, yeah. Guess what? Yeah.
And that's how generosity.
The generosity is them showing, I got the flex. Somebody, Eric Dickerson just said, somebody's putting him on his private jet. That's a flex for him. I got Eric Dickerson on my jet. You want to check that man's text messages? Everything that you do doesn't have a negative connotation or intention.
That's true.
All I'm going to say
but
is...
But it's still a flex.
If you go back to the picture of Cam Newton sitting in front of that airplane, the airplane is almost blurred out. It's not very clear.
The clearest
item in that picture is his repaired foot. There is figurative.
No, that's just a bad camera.
No. That is
the thing in front of you.
There is hidden meaning.
Oh,
that's right there in your face.
I know there's hidden meaning.
It's the first thing you see.
Remember when LeBron James lost that NBA title game or whatever and came out and said,
I broke my hand.
No. I'm still going to have the same life and y'all going to go back
home. Oh, he did say that.
Yeah, that was a flex.
That's what that picture said.
The mothballs right there.
I tried to support
Coming
you,
up.
Cam.
Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, joined again by LeVar Arrington and Eric Dickerson. Time now for the most fearless discussion of the day. All right, TMZ caught up with Hall of Fame receiver Terrell Owens yesterday, and T.O. claimed the NFL is screwing over Antonio Brown. Take a listen.
I don't agree with everything, but I understand where he's coming from. Like I said, it's deeper than what everybody else is seeing. I think it may be done for this year, and I think that's probably, I mean, it may be a tactic of the NFL to drag it out to where, you know, he can't get on the field this year for whatever reason.
All right, there's no mystery to be solved as it relates to understanding the NFL's tactic to investigating bad boy receiver Antonio Brown. Roger Goodell is justifiably returning the NFL to its roots. It's a privilege, not a right, to play in the National Football League. AB's entitled childish behavior cost him the privilege of playing in the league. The NFL briefly lost its way and its swag. The woke media addicted to social media and the NBA created the false narrative that NFL players are exploited and should all be empowered like LeBron James and other NBA superstars. If you visited Twitter over the last several years, you'd think Commissioner Adam Silver had partnered with LeBron in constructing utopia across America's basketball's arenas and that the association's overtaking of NFL popularity was imminent. China and the NBA's tanking domestic TV ratings ended that facade. Player mobility has undermined the competitive balance and fan passion. Load management has made the NBA's regular season pointless, and Daryl Morey's tweet about Hong Kong exposed the fraudulence of the NBA's social conscience and the league's lack of interest in an American audience. Entitled, delusional NBA players have damaged their league. Goodell and NFL owners have taken note. They're pushing back against the entitled and the delusional. Colin Kaepernick and Antonio Brown are the first on the hit list. Did you sense the confidence that oozed from Goodell when he said the NFL has moved on from Cap? Goodell sounded as comfortable as Jay-Z when he said, we've moved past kneeling. Kaepernick and his minions foolishly believed the NFL owed him something. AB made the same mistake. He thinks or thought the NFL needs him. Not remotely true. The modern NFL provides young men the opportunity to earn generational wealth playing a game. Yes, there are physical risks and the consequences of playing professional football. All great rewards require considerable risk. Until AB demonstrates a consistent pattern of respect for the NFL, Goodell and ownership should deny him the privilege of playing in there in their league. All right, Marcel, let's get us started. Think NFL owners are punishing entitled players.
Yes, I would have to say yes, because I think what the NFL has done as a collective is changed their sentiment in highlighting the bottom line. It's a business. And in highlighting the bottom line in your mindset, there are going to be repercussions. There are going to be consequences to those who are not fully respecting the bottom line, i.e. people who are bad for business. So if you think about it, the NFL, like anyone else, if you own something, you have the title for that possession. And their possession is the NFL franchise or the NFL league as a whole. And if you feel entitled without that title, then they're going to highlight to you now the privilege it is to be in the NFL versus the birthright that some players have swerved themselves into thinking. So I think that basically what's happening is behind closed doors, they said, let's get back to basics. And why did we get into this in the first place? And we're going to keep a narrow focus on that. Those who want to be professional in that respect, they're going to fully respect. Those who cross that line or stay on the outside of that border, going to have to deal with the consequences.
While I don't want to say I strongly disagree with you, I do disagree. I don't think that owners are punishing entitled players. I think owners are punishing entitled players that are destructive towards the shield. Now, the minute you are part of an NFL franchise, and I don't care if it is doing PR, you watch how some of these leads of PR walk around when they're with the team. You look at the GM, watch the way he walks around. Look at the owners, watch the way the owners walk around. Everybody associated with the Shield is entitled. You've earned the right to be entitled once you're in the NFL. What you do not have is the luxury of being destructive while you're living within that entitled situation. I can go here and people will say, you play in the NFL, you're part of the NFL, you're an NFL player. You're entitled to things based upon their perception of you. But when you become destructive and that destructive mentality, that destructive behavior begins to bring reproach on the Shield, like you said in the beginning, protect the Shield. If you're not protecting that Shield and that brand, it bothers the bottom line. If you bother the bottom line, you've got to go.
Well, I think that's in any business.
Right.
If you go to any business and you go into doing something crazy or saying something crazy to the employees or tweeting stuff out that's crazy, the business is going to be like, hey, you know, we're not putting up with this. Or if you work for Ford or Genesis and you come in with a Maserati shirt and hat on every day and like you promote another company, like, hey, you work here. Are you wearing this? Or if I play for the Rams, but they see me wearing 49er stuff all the time, they're like, well, I mean, what's up with that? And so, I mean, the NFL, you know, we as players, we know what the NFL is. The NFL has this image of it's a good boy, we know we do everything right. We do everything perfect. No, not perfect, but we try to treat everyone right, even though the players know different. You know, and I look at AB's situation. His situation is that, to me, this was when he was a rookie. A girl reached out from the National Football League and said that AB was looking for possibly talking about trying to get a mentor. And I talked to AB. I didn't know him like that. A mentor. But they never followed through with that. Some of these guys need mentoring because they've never had an opportunity to have this kind of money, you know, been on a stage like this. They come from small towns. They raised by grandma. They ain't never been on private planes. If somebody called me out early on the air, I ain't gonna say. Mm. You
know? The nerve.
You know?
The nerve.
The nerve of him.
Man.
So, you know, in a sense, it's the leagues. They need to do a better job of that also, of trying to prepare and helping these guys along.
Okay, ED, but we got to be clear. If anybody in Pittsburgh is watching, the Steelers organization is like, come on, man. We sent a boatload of people.
I agree.
We sent a boatload of people to mentor AB. Listen, this isn't included in my essay, but I do think there's a line that's been drawn in the sand. These guys have sat back and thought about where they got offline. Go look at what just happened with Janoris Jenkins. Mm. Just got released by the Giants for a dumb tweet. There was a defensive back for the Cleveland Browns that did something stupid earlier this year, got released. The NFL, I think, behind closed doors, like, hey, man, we have to exercise a bit more control because they're – I'm telling you, I think this narrative about NBA players and all the NFL players, all they all want to be like LeBron – and it got just out of control. And NFL players, I remember Todd Gurley sitting on LeBron's TV show calling Stan Kroenke a slave owner, basically, or, you know, NFL owners, slave owners, or stuff like that. That's gotten out of hand, and I think the collapse or the little shield or facade of how successful the NBA, having seen that fall, has given these guys the confidence to say, you know what? We got to get back to basics in business.
Yeah, I talked to one owner who was relaying what the ownership group felt during Kaepernick's stance. And the only thing that they felt, it seemed, as a collective was they should have took their stance because it hit them kind of blindly and their reception was misperceived, and it also kind of like enabled it to grow when they knew that they should have took a stance, but they didn't. So now what you're seeing is them being proactive about taking a stance in structure and in substance. And when you have power like the NFL owners, they have to remind themselves because they're empathetic like anyone else, but they have to remind themselves with that power, it must manifest. It must provide structure. It must provide rules. It must say sometimes that's too far. And power manifests downward because I got the power at the top. I could push it down. But entitled players and entitlement makes you think your power, you can push it upward. And that's where we are right now. All these players who are trying to call people out that actually have something to do with their opportunity are now starting to realize there's a conflict.
I would just say this. Entitled and privileged, I think owners are okay with their players being entitled and privileged.
I hope not.
I really do.
As long as they don't come
I really
to them.
Do. As long as it does not hurt what's going on.
Do you think entitlement is a good thing?
It doesn't have to be a bad thing. And one doesn't have to exist without the other. And that's what I'm saying. So, but it comes down to control, Whit. When you're talking about what these owners
are not. You want
your
kids feeling entitled?
Again,
to a
degree. Maybe to a
you
small.
You do?
Yeah.
Maybe if they've earned, if they earned it to maybe
oh
a small.
Oh, my God. My father just turned over the
all right.
Frame.
So I'm not going to say, I'm not going to go all the way with.
Sorry to hear that.
But maybe a tad bit.
Oh, yeah.
But listen.
You ain't going to get the finishes.
It's more about.
Cut him off.
It's about the control. And if you're talking about a crippling effect that could have came from the Kaepernick situation. Yes, you've been there before. I made him wings. You were entitled to the wings that I made you after I coached the game. I coached the game and came home and made that man. Hey, so
all right, coming up. Whitlock and Wiley, TJ Houshmandzadeh is back with us. Let's move to the Patriots, who head to Cincinnati Sunday for a showdown with the Bengals with the cloud of Spygate 2.0 hanging over the matchup. The NFL has said they will take their time with the investigation, which could prove to be a distraction. But we also know that Bill Belichick has been able to use past scandals like Deflategate as a rallying point for his team. All right, the question here is, will Spygate 2.0 inspire the Patriots to blow out the Bengals?
No, I don't think so. I think what's going to inspire them is just the fact that they're playing the Bengals. They're going to be like, oh, no, we got this. But that whole connection and the energy that you could get from, oh, they think we're cheating again. Well, let's go get them, guys. You got to remember who those guys are. There are only two dudes in that locker room right now that were there for Spygate 1.0. So who are you talking to when you say they think we? Brady and Ben Watson is like, yeah, okay, we were here. The rest of those guys were like modern-day high school and junior high school, not connected to the NFL whatsoever, let alone the Patriots. So if he goes in there with that message of Spygate, I think it's going to be lost on those youngsters.
It's going to inspire them. Although they weren't there, they're aware of it.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been hearing it, so they're very aware of it. The problem is they're just not good enough to blow anybody out. They're going to beat the Bengals, but they're not good enough to blow them out. Offensively, they're not going to have enough oomph to blow the Bengals out. They should win the game, but blow them out, I just don't think they're good enough to do it. They'll try, though.
CJ, I 1,000% agree with you. that's the issue. They're not good enough offensively. Now look, maybe they'll block punts. Maybe they'll turn the Bengals over. But Andy Dalton's actually played decent.
Yes.
It's a little secret. Yep. People don't know all year. But I do think there will be a little bit of inspiration because that New England fan base thinks like their team is picked upon. And that has been a rallying cry with the team for the last 12 years or so between Deflategate, the original Spygate. You remember Matt Patricia when he was the defensive coordinator wearing a clown shirt of Roger Goodell. And so there is in that atmosphere, culture around the New England Patriots, starting with their fan base and some of the players and some of the coaches, man, the whole world's against us. Here they are coming up with some more trumped up BS. And Bill Belichick was mad about the first Spygate and was mad at Eric Mangini over that. I'm sure he's mad at the Cincinnati Bengals that his name's dragged through the mud again.
I mean, it just doesn't translate for me. Like, me mentally, when I hear my coach, first of all, if I hear my fan base is upset, I'm like, y'all ain't playing? And then I hear my coach talking about, oh, here they go again at us. I'm like, you mean at y'all? Because I wasn't here. I get my energy from the fact that, look at my opponent. Look who I'm playing against. That team has won one game. Let's go beat them down for that. But if you start telling me about some history lessons when I didn't feel that.
But you're talking to the guys that play for the Patriots, really, you got to be a special individual to kind of really just sit here and abide by everything that the Patriots do, the way they run things, at least how it's been reported. You're a special individual.
Yeah, but I mean, in Buffalo, I wasn't trying to redeem the four lost Super Bowls.
Bill Belichick's message to his team is it'll be consistent with what he's been preaching for 15 years. Whole league is against us. Everybody's jealous of us. This is some more petty BS that the league is throwing at us because everybody can't stand.
We needed
success.
This film.
I don't know if that's his message as much as that's what we project his message to be. I always heard his message is focus on your job, focus on these details, and whoop them down at that and capitalize on their mistakes. You think he comes in there, the same guy who keeps this narrow focus with the media, all of a sudden opens up, hey, man.
No, I don't think he goes into the details because right. I don't think he has to. All he has. Look, with success, anybody that has success in any profession, in any endeavor, it brings out the jealousy and the haters.
Oh, yeah.
And it brings out the nitpicking. Mm-hmm. And that's all he's got to play into is like, oh, here we go again. Guys here, they think they can distract us and take us off our mission. The Bengals, Zach Taylor and the Bengals organization, they're all mad. They think we need to tape record them to whoop their ass. Stephon, McCourty brothers, we need some tape for you to shut down A.J. Green or whoever's out there wide receiver or to pick off Andy Dalton. I think it's a message that will play in their locker room, in their city. The problem is, again, they're just not that good.
Mm.
I love the Bengals plus 10. Uncle Jimmy's here to talk about our approval rating for Lamar Jackson.
You know.
But first, who's your big dummy of the day?
Big dummy of the day go to the person who told me I should be happy with my little $2,500 raise I just got. But you bragging about a $25,000 necklace that you bought.
That was in the 90s, bro. Never happened again.
I know damn well it bet not.
All right, let's talk Lamar Jackson,
25.
Who put on a show last night.
Same thing.
With an incredible 5-touchdown performance and a blowout win over the Jets last night. Baltimore is currently the AFC's top seed, and Lamar is all but assured the MVP award. Marcellus,
yes.
Would anything less than a Super Bowl for Lamar this year be a disappointment?
No, because last year the MVP didn't win the Super Bowl, and that wasn't a disappointing season by Patrick Mahomes. Here's a little fun fact, a little trivia. Whitlock, last 19 MVPs didn't win a Super Bowl in that same year. Who's the last one that did?
The last 19 didn't? Wow. I don't know.
Kurt Warner is the last one that won the Super Bowl and MVP the same year.
Yeah. Lamar's playing with house money. Nothing can be a disappointment at this point.
Great.
All right, Uncle Jimmy. Yesterday you were Michael Jackson.
Okay. So if I told y'all that yesterday he was Michael Jackson, I guess y'all didn't believe me. Think about it for a minute. Look here, we ain't never seen nobody sing and dance like Mike, right?
Yep.
That's real.
Hey, we ain't never seen nobody run and throw like Lamar, right?
That's
right.
True.
Steve All right, Young, look, maybe. Mike moonwalked across the stage at the Apollo.
Yeah.
Black folks lost their mind, right?
Yeah.
Lamar moonwalked across the field in Baltimore, and white folks lost their minds. but that nephew, nonetheless, I'm disappointed in you. Because last night, the boy threw 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And the boy's last name, in case you didn't realize, was Jackson.
Yeah.
You ever heard the words Jackson and 5 mixed, used in the same sentence?
I have. Joe Tessitore.
But you couldn't work that in your little soliloquy.
Yeah, Joe Tessitore already did that. Joe already did that.
Look at him. I like the boy. Yeah. I like him, just like Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay.
You know, black Michael Jackson, Lamar got that star quality.
Yeah.
He has what the French call Jodeci quoi.
Jodeci
quoi. That's not
Casey and JoJo got into
that. Yeah, that thing. Look at me. Here's the part I like, though. Did you see after the game when Mark Ingram was interviewing him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he asked Lamar, he said, what you got to say to all of the NFL owners who passed on you? And, you know, Lamar real mannered like Mike, you know? He just looked at him and said, y'all could have had me to yourself, but y'all didn't want me around. I guess them pretty white faces always made me stand out in a crowd. Then Ozzy picked me for the flock, and that was all it took. Now it's much too late for y'all to take a second look. Now, wait. So now you know after that, all the NFL owners ran into the studio, right? And now they laying down their checks, and now they're like, oh, brothers, give us one more chance to show you people that we love you. Won't y'all please let Weeze back in y'all's hearts? Oh, Lamar, we were wrong to let you go. But now, since we see you in the end zone, we want you blacks. Yes, we do now. We want you blacks. Ooh, ooh, baby.
Come on.
We want you blacks. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, come on.
Nah, 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 nah.
I think you're Tito.
We want you blacks.
Yeah, he must be Tito. Look at that. We want you blacks.
We want you blacks. Yeah.
All right, let me get to my approval rating.
I got to like that a little bit, don't you?
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
For Lamar Jackson.
You got that one in.
I actually took him up 4 points. He was already a GOAT, but after last night's performance, and just it's a unanimous MVP at this point.
Right.
So I moved him up in authenticity, moved him up in character. Once he gets the MVP, I'm going to move him up in the all-time greatness, but 91 GOAT status.
Yeah, I had to just move him up in his all-time status because he passed Elway for the most games in one season, 5 or more touchdowns. Passing Elway? That's my favorite player right there. So, yeah, I got to give him love.
All right, the internet somehow is still a little short on Lamar. Have him at an all-star level.